Good morning. The title of my sermon this morning is The Nature of Man and the Spirit of Life. Our text is Romans 8, verses 1 through 6. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for your love, your mercy. We thank you for your great grace. And we thank you for the privilege. Help us see it as a wondrous privilege of fellowship. We thank you that you have given us to each other for the express purpose of fellowship, for the express purpose of encouraging each other's faith. Iron sharpens iron. And we thank you that you are sovereign over this world, over this church, over every person here. Our lives are in you. Help us believe this. Help us live it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the nature of man? Psalm 51:5, for I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. The natural man or woman lives for their own interest. They set their hearts on sin and worldly pursuits. This is our nature. In your bulletin, you'll find a sermon outline. Follow along with me. Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21 from the NLT. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. We all sin. The problem is when we continue in that sin. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. You just have to look at the evening news and you see that proved out. Jesus said, the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. From the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. Matthew 15. The natural man or woman is wicked. But Joel Osteen says 99.9% of all people are good people. Who are you going to believe? Jesus or Joel never been to seminary Osteen? Who are you going to believe? St. Paul tells us plainly that we have a sin problem. Our very nature is sinful because without Christ, our hearts gravitate towards sin. Again, follow me in the sermon outline, Romans 7, 18 through 25 from the NLT. And I know that nothing good lives in me. This is St. Paul talking. That is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. This is St. Paul. He wrote almost half of the New Testament. If he struggles, we struggle. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Underline that. Still within me. Oh, what a wretched, miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Only Jesus can break those chains. I've read several different commentaries on the book of Romans, everything from Martin Luther to Chuck Swindoll, but none have spoken to me like J. Vernon McGee, and therefore I'm going to quote him generously in my sermon today. If you remember, I told you that last week, I consider Romans 8, my personal opinion, but I consider Romans 8 to be the most powerful chapter in the Bible. We could spend the rest of the year studying Romans chapter 8 and not do it justice. Last week, I did a flyover of Romans chapter 8 at high altitude. Today, we're going to buzz the sheep. J. Vernon McGee, Romans chapter 8. This is such a glorious and wonderful epistle that all we can do is merely stand before it as Moses stood before the burning bush with our feet unshod and our head uncovered, not fully realizing the glory of what we behold. Other commentators have said we enter Romans chapter 8 with no condemnation. We close the chapter realizing there is no separation between ourselves and God. And in between, we find this glorious promise that Jesus is working all things for our good. 8:28. In chapter 8, we also find that the child of God is to receive joy and peace in this life. But it's up to us. In this life, we are given the power of God to live for God in the presence of sin. In Romans 8, we come to understand that the new nature that Christ has given us has no power, and the old nature has no good. And this is why St. Paul bitterly cries in Romans 7:24, "This power that makes me a slave to sin is still within me. So who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" The New King James says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord and the power of His most Holy Spirit. The name of the Holy Spirit, take note, in just this one chapter, the name of the Holy Spirit is mentioned 19 times. That seems to say it's important. The Holy Spirit is introduced to us in Romans 8 as the Spirit of God, who not only sanctifies us, but empowers us to be able to live for God. And not only live for Him, but live in Him. Last week, I talked to you about sanctification. I gave you the analogy of God's car wash. The vehicle we call our soul must be kept clean, free of dirt and grime that we know as sin. Sanctification is a daily process. Keeping our spirits clean and uncontaminated by sin is worship. Think on that. Just keeping God's commandments is worship. Anytime we follow God's commands, God receives this as an offering of worship. And for us, it's often a sacrifice of worship. But why is this important? Number one, it's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. Number two, because every day of this world, people are watching us. Our lives as Christians are on parade. The moment we step out of our houses, people are watching. You've never seen a messy, dirty car in a parade. If you did, it wasn't a parade you wanted to be a part of. Therefore, our lives must be shiny new and clean. J. Vernon McGee. A life that is pleasing to God is a life that shines forth the glory of who He is. And such a life must be lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I hear an amen? Amen. St. Paul exhorts us again and again, be filled with the Spirit of God. Why? Because Holy Spirit fullness is sanctification. And what is sanctification? It is the work of the Holy Spirit in the regenerated life of a believer, delivering the believer from the power of sin. This is sanctification. And miracle of miracles, the Holy Spirit does this in the very presence of sin, ours and the rest of the world. I've given you this illustration before. When you go to the pet store and buy a goldfish, how do they deliver that goldfish? In a plastic bag filled with water. You are the goldfish. Father God envelops you in a transparent sack of water, which is the power and protection of His Holy Spirit. Let's face the facts. The world we live in is a cesspool. And God has dropped you, the goldfish, into that cesspool. Why? To shine your light. But you are protected in this cesspool. Because God's Holy Spirit carries you not only in His arms, but in His person. You, Mr. or Mrs. Goldfish, have a protective cushion of spiritual amniotic fluid and an endless supply of spiritual oxygen that is pure and divine. And this is why St. Paul says in Romans 8:38, nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Put that one on your refrigerator. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation. Remember, Satan is a created being. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we are in Christ, we are in a protective bubble. While in this world, yes, we live in an ocean of filth, but we are protected by a holy envelope of love and grace. And He has a name, the Holy Spirit of the living God. Now you wondered what that little deep sea diver's helmet, that icon is in your outline. Here we go. Just like a deep sea diver has a dry suit and a large metal helmet with an air hose that goes all the way up to the mothership, supplying him oxygen that is pumped into his suit. Our spiritual umbilical cord is the very breath of the Lord Jesus. And from his heart pumps a continual flow of all cleansing, all powerful, all conquering blood. This blood is eternal life. And this is why St. Paul says in Romans 8:1, so now, right here, right now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. The literal rendering from the Greek is, so there is now not even one condemnation. In this emphatic statement, God is saying there is no reason, no excuse for you to live in failure and defeat. For I have made provision for you to live an abundant life, John 10:10. In my power and my joy. Don't overlook the joy. It's a promise. And how do we do that? Verse 2. And because you belong to Christ, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The King James calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of life. Why? Because he is life. Our old nature is completely dominated by sin. And even our new nature cannot break the shackles of sin without the power of Christ's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life. And Jesus said, you can do nothing without me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Remain in me and you will produce much fruit. But you can do nothing without me. Only the highest authority and power can win for us victory over sin. Verses 3 and 4. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. J. Vernon McGee. This is good. Listen up. In order that the righteous result of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, God has not only condemned our sins, but purged them from our flesh. And as a result, the Holy Spirit is now able to do the impossible. The impossible. He can produce a holy life in weak and sinful flesh. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Hebrews 2:14-18. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set us free, all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. Jesus, through his death, destroyed death. He destroyed him that had the power of death. And Joel Osteen will tell you, oh, that was quite a contest. Jesus going into hell and wrestling the keys of death from Satan. Didn't happen. Those keys are hanging on the cross. They were his the moment he said, "It is finished." And now that Jesus has the power over death and the grave, so do we. But we still struggle with sin. Romans 8, 5 and 7. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. In other words, it's our choice. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. In other words, if you habitually live by the dictates of your old nature, habitually live by your own desires, and your new nature doesn't rebuke you, you don't have a new nature. Christ is not in control of your life. Why? Because you have not yielded to his lordship in your life. Verse 6. Those who live in the Spirit of Christ, let the Spirit control their minds, and this leads to life and peace. Hebrews 7:26 from the J.B. Phillips translation. If you've never read J.B. Phillips, you need to check him out. It's a wonderful translation. Here is the high priest we need, Jesus Christ. A man who is holy, faultless, unstained, beyond the very reach of sin, and therefore lifted above the very heavens. There is no need for him, like the high priest of old, to offer up daily sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's sins. He made one sacrifice, once for all, when he offered up himself. Through Christ's sacrifice, we believers have been given a new nature, and we must yield to that new nature and let the Holy Spirit exercise complete control. How do we do that? How do we do that? When I was in seminary, I had a good friend, and he told me something I've never forgotten. He asked me, "Ray, when you read God's word, read a passage and then just place your face in the Bible and breathe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Breathe in his word. Try it." Verse 6, those who live in the Spirit of Christ, let the Spirit control their minds, and this leads to life and peace. The rhema of God's Holy Spirit makes God's word come off the page and come alive in our hearts. When you put your face in your Bible and inhale, that's what's happening. The rhema of God's Holy Spirit. He has the power to make the ink come off the page and come alive in your heart. Do you want to feel the very breath of God in your lungs? Get in the Word. Live in it. Because if we fail to do this, what happens? We become carnally minded. Romans 8:6. The King James says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." J. Vernon McGee. To be carnally minded means that you are separated from the fellowship of God. Therefore, when we sin, we come to God, confess our sins, and let him wash us clean. Sanctification. This is sanctification. This restores us to fellowship with Father God. God's peace is to experience the tranquility and well-being in our present and future. Think on that. Our present and our future. And the ability to forget our past. Why would we drag that up? God has cast it into the deepest ocean. We need to camp out in this territory. Amen. And how do we do that? How do we dwell in God's territory? Dr. William R. Newell. To say to yourself, I hope to do better tomorrow, is to fail to see yourself in Christ today. The only way you will do better tomorrow is to allow the Spirit of God to move in and through you today. To be disappointed with yourself is to fail to acknowledge that nothing good comes from your flesh. Nothing. Stop believing in yourself and believe today that the Spirit of God can enable you through the new nature Father God has given you to live for him. And don't say, oh, I'm so discouraged. This means you don't believe in God. Every encouragement, every courage, every success for the believer comes from the hand of God. But you must reach out and take it. The true mark of a born-again believer and a genuine Christian is a person who is indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Before your feet hit the floor in the morning, before you roll out of bed, oh Holy Spirit, indwell me today and every day. In Jesus' name. Last week I had an interesting encounter. I had taken a couple of my bicycles in for repairs, and I'd just gotten home. The garage door was up. I have a bike rack on the back of my car. I was unloading one of my bikes, and there's this young man walking down the sidewalk in front of our house and just swinging his arms, and he looks up and he says, have you noticed nobody listens today? And I stopped what I was doing and I said, I'm listening. What do you have to say? Now this is a very well-dressed young man. I'm guessing he was about 15. He had on the latest Nike shirt and running pants and Nike shoes, but just had a very happy, carefree attitude. And he said, boy, I want a bicycle, but my mom won't let me ride on the street. I said, you listen to your mom. She's a wise woman. And he went on. We discussed the difference between road bikes and trail bikes and gravel bikes. And finally, I said, that cross on around your neck, it's a beautiful cross. What's it mean to you? He smiled and he said, I want to be a reborn Christian. I thought, well, I think you got your terminology a little wrong, but hey, let's go with this. He said, I pray to God every day. I try to repent. I try to read my Bible. And I looked him right in the eye and I said, do you know what it means to be a born-again Christian? And he didn't quite have an answer. I said, so I drug out my cell phone. I pulled up Romans 10, 9, and 10. I said, you can be a born-again Christian right here, right now. He said, okay. So I read it to him, and he looked on. Romans 10, 9, and 10. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. I said, will you openly declare to me that Jesus died on that cross to free you from your sins and now you are right with God? He said, yes, I will. I said, welcome to the family of God. You're now a born-again Christian. He smiled ear to ear. I told him, Father God has made this thing called Christianity amazingly simple. He walked off with a bounce in his step, looked back and smiled. I gave him my card. I said, I'm a minister. I know you'll have questions. Call me. He said, yes, sir, I will. This is why it is of paramount importance that we live and move and have our very being in the Holy Spirit of the living God. Acts 17:28. Christ's Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. And we cannot pass on the peace and comfort he gives us without being in his word, being in his spirit. Our life in Christ must be transparent. We are called to be lanterns that burn 24/7. And we shine best when we are surrounded by darkness. Our lives should be like a glass lantern. Do you remember the old Coleman camp lantern? If you ever went camping, you had a Coleman lantern. It had a glass chimney. You could see the wick burning. But amazingly, that wick never burned up. Just like Moses at the burning bush. We have something to say. We are that burning bush. We are God's voice. We speak for God when we say, our God, Jehovah El Roy, is the God who sees me. And he sees you. He sees your trouble and despair. And he's saying to you, I see your pain. I see your heartache. I see your distress. And I'm sending my holy angels to deliver you. I am the God of the angel armies, and my help is on the way. Say it, believe it, receive it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, remind us that this joy you talk about in John 10:10, this abundant life, this life to the full, that happens when your spirit is flowing through our spirit to someone else. When we're blessing someone else with our encouragement, with the very words you give us, which are life. Remind us, Father, we are that city on the hill. We are that lamp that you place in the middle of the room on a stool so it lights up the entire house. Father, help us shine brightly for your glory and our joy. In Jesus' name, amen. For my benediction this morning, you know how I love E.H. Peterson. Giving is what we do best. It is the air into which we are born. It is the action that was designed into us before our birth. Giving is the way in which God designed his world to work. He makes no exceptions for any of us. Our life is for others. That is the way God's creation works. Some of us try desperately to hold on to ourselves and to live for ourselves. And we look so bedraggled and pathetic doing this. Hanging on to the dead branch of a bank account for dear life. Afraid to risk ourselves on the untried wings of giving. We don't think we can live generously because we've never tried. But the sooner we start, the better. For eventually, you will have to give back the life that Father God gave you. So the longer we wait, the less time we have for the soaring heights of the life of grace. Blessings to you all.